The prayer that we have just said together is probably the most powerful little exorcism prayer which we possess. In the Holy Gospel, Father sang this morning, "By the finger of God I cast out demons, and blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But first of all, I'm wondering how your Lenten spiritual reading is coming along. Remember, in Lent, you can start a good habit of reading, which you don't have to end like giving up candy at noon on Holy Saturday, but you can continue it throughout the year. Indeed, if you get yourself a Lenten reading book, which is set, as I mentioned last week, that wonderful book, The Year with the Saints. If you get a book, say, The Lives of the Saints by Father Butler, which has some readings to be done for each day of the year, why, that would certainly count. You wouldn't have to finish the whole book by Easter Sunday. I have several of The Lives of the Saints, and most mornings, even when I'm busy, I can't usually resist the temptation just to look in and to see what saints we have today. Yesterday's saints struck me because they lead us to today's sermon. The Blessed John of Vallombrosa was a monk in 15th century Italy, in Florence, and he was a great reader. But you know, it matters what you read. It got him into trouble. He got into reading about the devil and black magic, and he began to practice it, and his life became very wicked. His brother monks turned him in. He tried to plead innocent, but he was actually guilty and finally admitted his sin. And he was put into the monastic prison and under very difficult circumstances. When he emerged at the end of his term, he was almost a skeleton, but his soul was saved. And he developed a love for solitude. He was known as the saint of the cell block, and became a good friend with Catherine of Siena, and had a special grace to reach the most hardened hearts, John of Vallombrosa. Another blessed we had yesterday is Peter of Jeremia, same century, Italy, down in the south, Sicily. He was a law student, and he was poring over his books, getting ready for his bar exam one night. His study was on the third floor of his house when he heard an insistent rapping at the window. Just automatically he cried out, "Well, who's there?" And a voice, there was no one to be seen, but a voice said, "I am your cousin. I too studied law, and I was called to the bar. Against my conscience, I took unjust cases simply to make money, or to make a name for myself. And now I have been called before the justice seat of God, and there is no one to take my case. I have been condemned to everlasting fires, but before I am cast into hell, I am sent to warn you to flee from the courts of man, if you wish to be acquitted before the judgment of God." What timely advice that would be in any age. And with that, he gave up the practice of law. He put on instruments of penance. He became a Dominican, a great friend of St. Vincent Ferrer, and helped him in his preaching throughout Europe. The last exorcism Father Siordia, I'll be seeing him again this week, performed was back in August on the Vigil of the Assumption, and it was for a law student who had gotten into trouble with his reading. This is what happened. It was the Vigil of the Assumption, and they, as we, have the custom of making a tomb of the Virgin Mary with flowers, but they have a kind of a vigil ceremony the night before There's the ladies of a certain confraternity who meet to pray the rosary. It was about 10 o'clock. The rosary was scheduled for 11. And there was a great commotion at the open doors of the church. There was a young man there, and his girlfriend was with him, and his mother, and some other relatives, and they wanted to bring him in to see Father, who was in the sacristy. But he would not, or could not, even step over the threshold of the church. So Father said, well, bring him around to the side door, and I'll talk to him there. And in the course of their discussion, he discovered, Father did, that this young man, a law student, was possessed by the devil. All the classic signs of extraordinary strength and extraordinary intellectual ability as well, accompanied by strange voices. It was a very picturesque kind of an exorcism, as the world might imagine it. That is to say, it was accompanied by spitting, sort of a bile, and then vomiting and awful things like that. As he was talking to this poor possessed man, who had been doing so much spitting in uncontrollably, he said how thirsty he was at a certain point. Now, there in the sacristy, they have a container of holy water that looks like just like a regular container of water, and if you didn't know, you would think it was just water. So he offered him a glass of holy water, and he refused to drink it. He knew what it was. So then Father got the story out of him that in order to pass the bar, he had come across some black magic in his reading. He invoked the devil just almost for fun, just to see what would happen, and he did pass the bar, and the devil took possession of his soul. So Father decided he would have to do some form of an exorcism, and at this point, all these exterior manifestations were such that the family was very frightened. His live-in girlfriend fled. What an awful thing. What an abuse of any concept of love. This business of living together without holy matrimony. How offensive to God, and what a sham it is. She fled. But the mother stayed, and Father said, I'll let you stay, but you must promise me that you will show no signs of weakness, because that won't be of any help to me. You've got to pray. And if you show any signs of weakness, the danger is the devil may come to you next. During the course of the exorcism, Father admitted to me last month, he broke his own rule that he has invariably followed in the 10 years of his priesthood. That is to say, he got into a little conversation with the devil. The exorcist is meant to ask the devil his name. Father had never done that before, but this time he did. Quo nomine vocaris? What's your name? Tell me your name. And the devil refused to. But at some point during the exorcism, he did, only in some kind of an Indian dialect. There's many in Mexico, and Father could not understand what he was saying. So then Father asked the devil, are you a devil or are you a damned soul? Because both possess people. And he said, I am neither. The devil lied. He said, I am a guardian. I am the guardian of this young man, sort of the hellish opposite of a guardian angel. And then the devil reproached the man he was possessing. Imagine seeing one man and hearing two different voices, a conversation going on. And he said, he cursed at him. He said, you idiot, I told you not to come into this church, that there would be problems. And now see all of the trouble you've gotten us in. And indeed, they would have problems and trouble, because then Father Siordia told him, he said, you are leaving, told the devil. You are going to leave either the easy way or the hard way. It's up to you. And the devil refused to go. So Father began praying the Litany of the Saints. Before he did so, he went down over to church and he asked four good, strong men who happened to be there to help him. And some of them refused to. They were too cowardly. But then later on, they came to the sacristy anyway because they were embarrassed not to have helped the priest. So Father began the Litany of the Saints. And as soon as he came to Our Lady's titles, the devil roared and he groaned and moaned with pain. And Father told me, whenever I saw that a certain invocation pained the devil. I repeated it again and again. But it was only at 11 o'clock when the ladies of the confraternity began praying the rosary that the devil left. And the man collapsed on the floor. He fainted. And when he came to, one of the first things he said was how thirsty he was. And that glass of holy water was still on the table. So he gave it to the man to drink, and he took it, and he drank it all, and he thanked the priest. And then when he found out what happened, he wanted to thank Father again, but Father said, well, don't thank me. Thank the Blessed Mother. Those people in there are praying the rosary, and that's what delivered you. You go in there, and you say your rosary. And then he said, and be sure to receive the sacraments and get to confession. What is the secret of the strength of the Mother of God? By the finger of God, our Lord says, I cast out demons. That is a scriptural name for the Holy Ghost, who is the dowry received by our Blessed Mother at the very moment of her Immaculate Conception. What is the secret of the sanctity of the Immaculate Heart of Mary? That which happens in every mother's womb when she conceives a child, that is to say that the little, tiny, growing infant in her womb, that child's heart beats in unison with its mother's heart. And that can be seen and registered. It's a known physical fact. Well, when you were born, your heart was separated from your mother. It beats on its own and quite apart. Not so for the heart of Jesus and of Mary. Their hearts were never separated. They have never ceased to beat in unison. Thus truly we say, blessed is the womb that bore thee, where those two hearts first beat as one. But then we continue to say the prayer, and blessed art thou, O Mary, who heard the word of God and kept it. Never once did she do her own will against God. You see, then this is the logic, as it were, of science, as well as of scripture, for strong devotion to Mary's heart, sorrowful and immaculate. It is one with the heart of her Son in the finger of God, the Holy Ghost, doing God's will. The divine plan. The Son of God did not, he would not, and he still will not today come to any soul without his mother. That's how he first came into this world. And that's how he comes into souls still today. And the mother, she prepares his way. And the mother, she is prepared in turn, should we, her children, ask her to cast out the demon. After all, she crushed his head from the first moment of her existence. She who perfectly hears God's word and keeps it. As we try this Lent to draw closer to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the treasury of all of God's graces, inevitably we draw closer to the heart of Mary. We remember the importance then of wearing our brown scapular, of meditating the rosary, its powers, the powers of a good rosary, well said. We remember the first Saturday devotion. But remember, too, this is a wonderful little starter kit that you can give as gifts to those who probably wouldn't accept a brown scapular. Remember the gift of the miraculous medal. Mary gave it to St. Catherine Laboure in 1830, and there are symbols and prayers on it. It's a very beautiful, rich little medal. One time, St. Catherine was a bit confused about the design that Mary wanted, and she asked Our Blessed Mother, and Our Lady responded, just the M, because there's an M on one side, and the two hearts are enough. And that's a good summary for all of our lives. Just Mary and the two hearts united, that's enough. Ask her for the grace to distance yourself from the devil, to hear and to keep only God's word. More than that, you tell the devil this Lent he is going. And you tell the devil, look, You can go the easy way, or you can go the hard way, but you are going. There are too many of you in this church who've got one foot in the devil's kingdom, and you're used to hopping around when you get to Mass on Sunday, so you can live your normal way the rest of the week. And that has got to stop. You must be 100% for our Lord. And the easy way to do it is through Our Lady, although it's very hard on the devil, I assure you. Cast him out over the chorus of Hail Marys of one good rosary this Lent. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.